Welcome back to Broadway Bros Musical Madness, Episode 2. I have the pleasure of being with my friend Billy yet again. I'm just so happy and thrilled that he decided to come back and not just quit after the first episode. So, Billy, thank you for joining me again.
Absolutely. Glad to be back. I am not going to be as knowledgeable this time.
Yeah, so Billy is on the phone today because social distancing, obviously. And today we are going to go over. So last time we did the contemporary bracket, which was 2000s and on. And today we're going to flip that and do the golden age of musicals, which I'm sure everyone is so thrilled about. So just as a reminder, we have 16 of what I have picked, which are probably not a good list. Because, disclaimer, I'm not very good at determining how good a Golden Age musical is or not. But so we have 16 Golden Age musicals that I have ranked based on me, which is, again, probably not great. And they will be going up against each other to see who will advance to the next round. You know, just classic head-to-head bracket style. Billy does not know what shows I have picked. He does not know which two shows will be paired against each other. And he does not know anything about like the seeds or where I have each show ranked or anything like that. So just on the spot, he's going to have to hear two shows and pick one and hopefully have some substance behind his choices and go from there. So I guess we're ready to go, Bill. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, let's give it a try. We'll see what I know.
Good. All right. Let's do it. And I also will not be going in any order. So I'm not going to do like the one seed goes first or anything like that. So I'll just be picking random matchups. And then at the end, I will reveal the list and the shows that I feel were in what order and see if Billy agreed with me. So let's just start off with so we have Carousel against Annie Get Your Gun.
All right. So I know a lot more about one of these shows than I know about the other one, that's for sure. Carousel, I like a lot, actually. Rodgers and Hammerstein, really great show. They did a production at, I think it was Lincoln Center with Kelly O'Hara that is just, like, fantastic that you can find on, like, PBS and Broadway HD. But the music in that show is just, as I've said many times about shows, it is beautiful music, but it's very much like, it feels like a Golden Age musical. It's what made the art form. Rodgers and Hammerstein, I mean, they made what is the modern musical, and you definitely see that developing in Carousel. Great show. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with Carousel because I really like that show. Annie Get Your Gun has some good tunes in it. Anything You Could Do is a pretty classic one.
I Could Do Better. It
kind of entered its way into popular culture outside of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. And then it's like, what, we got the Sun in the Morning. Sun in the Morning and the Stars at Night, I think, is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines.
I have no idea, but yes, go on.
What do you say?
I said I have no idea, but yes, go on.
Oh, okay, that's like another pretty popular song. Originally played by Ethel Merman, Annie, so it doesn't get much better than that.
Yes.
But overall, I'm pretty indifferent about that show. It's got a few good tunes, but nothing to blow me away.
It is definitely hard to go from the contemporaries right to the Golden Age. And
yeah,
I mean, it is just the wealth of knowledge that we knew about all of the contemporaries. I mean, you could name multiple casts from each show and productions and where it tried out of town and the tours and stuff. But here it is a lot harder, but Carousel moves on to the next round.
Well, Carousel, though, just to say something about Carousel, just recently have that revival at the Imperial.
It did.
That had a great cast. Joshua Henry, Lindsay Mendez, who else was in that? Jesse Mueller was in that. And that soundtrack, the cast recording is great if you get a chance to listen to that. And I would suggest, maybe you don't like a lot of Golden Age musicals. Carousel would probably be a good place to start because it's so classic, but it's also fantastic.
Huh, there you go, a little tidbit if anyone's trying to get into classical musicals, which I'm sure is something that's a pressing matter nowadays.
It might be.
It might be. I wouldn't surprise me if you started getting into it. So
I am into it.
Then there you go. Someone's got to be. Someone's got to be into these. All right, so Carousel is the first one from the Golden Age to move on to the round of 32. Let's go next up. We have Peter Pan against The King and I.
All right, so another Rodgers and Hammerstein here.
I mean, they were big back then. I mean, this was their time. This was their time.
They, like I said, everything Rodgers and Hammerstein get, they deserve because they pretty much invented the modern musical. And I'm going to go with The King and I.
Nice.
Because I like it. That's a show I do like a lot. I probably know a little bit more about Carousel than that one, but that show has a lot of great songs that are standalone. It recently also has a recent life. I believe it's still touring actually around the United States right now from its Broadway revival.
I was going to say it was not long ago that it was back on Broadway.
Yeah, that was another Kelly O'Hara appearance there. But some of my favorites from that one, I Whistle a Happy Tune, I Have Dreamed. That another, I mean, Rodgers and Hammerstein music is just great. It feels old, but not in like an archaic way, in like a charming way. And I really like it. And that's a fun show. I mean, certainly maybe it hasn't aged like a fine wine or anything like that.
Yeah.
Certainly parts of it can feel very outdated racially, but overall a good show. Peter Pan, I don't care for that much, to be completely honest with you. And this isn't Disney's Peter Pan, to be clear.
No.
Yeah, no. I like the story Peter Pan, but that's as much as I really don't know a lot about that original production.
Kathy Rigby.
Was it?
Kathy Rigby was the original Peter Pan.
Oh, that's true. I feel like somewhere deep down in the recesses of my mind I knew that. But I've heard a few songs from it. I never really got into it. I really didn't find it very interesting. So, but The King and I, another good one to give a listen to if you're interested in how we got where we are in the American musical theater.
Yeah, back-to-back R&H to start off, yep. The Golden Age.
Yeah.
We'll see if any of their other stuff also pops up. So King and I moves on to the round of 32. Let's go up next. Let's go Cinderella. So R&H, they're really let's just get them out versus Kiss Me Kate.
Oh, okay. I know Kiss Me Kate well, actually.
I'm glad someone does.
Yeah, that's fair. Cole Porter show. I actually did get the chance to see the Broadway revival of Kiss Me Kate.
Wow. Look at you.
At Studio 54, yeah. I didn't know anything about it before then. But Kiss Me Kate is a really, really funny show, surprisingly. And it's got great music. Too Darn Hot is one of my favorite musical theater songs.
Like my man Cole Porter said.
Yeah, you get into Too Darn Hot. Anyone in the Heights?
Into the Heights, Billy?
Into the Heights.
Into the Heights? Again. It's a callback. Go on.
It is a callback. but yeah, that show, just seeing it, it's a really, really fun show. Back then, that was Cole Porter. That was like, I don't want to sound stupid, but I believe that was like slightly before Rodgers and Hammerstein were coming on. And they really didn't care to tell a very important story back in the Cole Porter shows.
Mm-hmm.
That was back when it was more like, let's get some fun tunes and catchy lyrics. Because like back then, like pop music was Cole Porter.
Yeah.
Like it was show tunes.
Yeah.
So it was more about having a good song than it was about having songs that fit into like a plot.
Right.
And it's a relic, but it's fun. It's a fun show, and it's got a lot of good music. And then Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella. I don't really care for it that much, to be honest with you. Some people love it. Another one that also just had a lot of these ones you're talking about just had revivals, like in the last few years.
It's good. It keeps them relevant.
Yeah. I guess that's why they're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's why they get revived, because they were good.
Yeah.
Roger Rabbit and Cinderella just had the recent revival with, was it Laura Onsis?
It was Laura Osnes and Santiago Fontana. Fontana.
Santino Fontana, yeah. Recent Tony winner for Tosi. and I don't have a ton to say about that one. The Next 10 Minutes is a good song.
You mean 10 minutes ago?
Oh my god, I just did the thing.
You just did the thing. For those of you who don't know, there is a mashup of Laura Osnes and Jeremy Jordan singing The Next 10 Minutes Ago, which is a mashup of 10 Minutes Ago from Cinderella and The Next 10 Minutes from Last 5 Years. So if you have not heard that, I definitely recommend on YouTube, go check that out. But I cannot believe Billy just straight up mixed up those songs.
I know, that was bad. That's bad.
It's Into the Heights all over again. This is becoming a theme.
Yeah, it's not great. But definitely, I'm going to send Kiss Me, Kate, because it's super fun, and it's got super fun music, and Kelly O'Hara and Will Chase. And Corbin Bleu, by the way, he pulled himself up, like, with his own arms, and tap danced upside down on the set while holding himself up upside down, and that was pretty wild. So that gets to move on for that reason.
Corbin Bleu, what an animal.
Yes, Corbin Bleu was in that revival. Incredible.
All right, so Kiss Me, Kate moves on to the round of 32 over Cinderella. Let's go up to, okay, this is one that there aren't actually a lot, Billy, that I feel like this is definitely the one bracket where our rankings will differ, just because probably you just know more than I do. I mean, more than anything. So, but there are some that I do know are going to win. And so let's move on to one of those, which is The Pajama Game.
Okay.
Versus West Side Story.
Oh yeah, it's not even close. Pajama Game does have some importance in musical theater history. If you don't know what The Pajama Game is about, it's about, I believe it is a strike at a pajama factory. I'm like 90% sure that's what it's about.
Couldn't tell you.
It's based on true events. It's a historical musical. But it was the first musical that Hal Prince ever produced, I believe.
Oh.
So that's a pretty big deal.
That is
so
a big deal.
He produced The Pajama Game, and then, fun fact, also went on to then produce West Side Story after West Side Story had producers out of town. And then it was going to Broadway, it was in rehearsals, and the producer dropped out and said, something happened, and they didn't have the money, and they dropped out. And Hal Prince was still very young, and still, obviously, I think he produced one or two things by that point, and he ended up taking up the project, and that was the first time that he, like, truly collaborated with Stephen Sondheim. Stephen Sondheim literally called Hal Prince and was like, we need a producer, which is a pretty wild thing that happened.
Yeah.
But The Pajama Game, I'm not going to lie, I don't know the music well. I have tried to listen to it quite a few times and really just not been able to get into it. I know one or two people who really like it.
This is my once a year day. That's what I know.
What do you say?
This is my once a year day. It's like the one song from The Pajama Game I know. I have known nothing about the show. It was one of the songs that I was recommended to sing.
I see. Yes. Yeah, I don't even know that song. So you know more songs than The Pajama Game than I do.
Wow. That is rough.
Yeah.
Again, this was a slaughter. But, I mean, the show, okay, show is relevant in time.
That's what I'm going to say about The Pajama Game.
Yeah.
West Side Story I'll talk about a little bit.
I mean, also save it, because you're going to have, you're also going to keep talking about West Side Story. So, like,
I'll say like something.
Yeah. Yeah.
First time Stephen Sondheim got to do something on Broadway. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. He did not write the music. He just wrote the lyrics. And he wanted really bad to write music and lyrics for a show. And he went, this is a funny story. He actually went to Oscar Hammerstein of Rodgers and Hammerstein fame.
I've heard of him.
Was his mentor, and said, I don't want to do it. I want to write music and lyrics. And Oscar Hammerstein said, why don't you just do it? It'll be a good experience. You'll get to meet people, you know. And so he ended up doing it. And Leonard Bernstein wrote the music. Ever heard of him? So pretty good experience, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that if you listen to West Side Story, you immediately see the brilliance of what would become Sondheim's career. Definitely, it feels like a younger Sondheim, but it's a cool show. And I'm sure I will say more about it because it wins. And I have plenty to say about West Side Story, so we'll talk more about it. I just recently got to see the revival over this past, oh my god, another revival. But Dominic ain't getting revived anytime soon.
The golden age of revivals right now. Jeez.
It is the golden age of revivals right now. That's true.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But yeah, I just saw the revival and they completely reworked it, and I think it's interesting. I'll talk more to that in a future episode.
Okay, so are you sure West Side Story beats the Pajama Game? Are you positive?
I am certain.
All right, so West Side Story.
But again, I've never listened to it. I just couldn't get into it. So,
well, there's a difference between not listening to it and trying and not being able to. Big difference.
That's what I did.
Big difference in those two things. So, unsurprisingly, West Side Story moves on over the Pajama Game. Now, let's go to a show that I know we both hold very dear to our hearts. Once Upon a Mattress.
Oh.
Listen to that reaction, folks. Listen to the passion and the love and that man's voice. Once Upon a Mattress up against Guys and Dolls.
Wow. Guys and Dolls wins.
Are you sure?
Yes. Wait, hold on.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, I will say why that holds such a near and dear spot in our heart, because Billy and I actually were in Once Upon a Mattress, and Kyle was also in Once Upon a Mattress. All three of us were together in high school, and it was our junior year, Billy's freshman year. We did Once Upon a Mattress, and this was before I think Billy and I even became friends. Me and Kyle were friends, but just the experience of Once Upon a Mattress was definitely something that I remember doing, but not in a super positive light. Not because direction wasn't great, not because we didn't have awesome costumes and sets and production value, stuff like that. But just the show itself is now, there was a revival back in, I believe it was 90, it was like 99 or 2000, 2001 or something with Sarah Jessica Parker. And actually, Jane Krakowski was also in it. But other than that, but we didn't do that version. We did not do the revival version. We did the classic golden age version. And let me tell you, it is just outdated. It is just, I guess it was funny back then. And I could see, I mean, there were a couple times throughout the musical that it was, that it warranted some chuckles. But it was most of the time, if it warranted chuckles, it was not from the content. It was from the actor or actresses delivering it. But that show was just absolutely outdated. Well, I'm glad Billy's back. I don't know where he went, but I'm glad I vanned for that entire time. So that's why when I say Once Upon a Mattress, fond memories, is because we, and it was before we were even really friends, but we did it together, and it was a time.
I've seen a production of it that I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, production is a lot of it. Like I said, if you like a production of Once Upon a Mattress, it's not because you liked the content of Once Upon a Mattress. It's because.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's actually funny if you do it correctly. I feel like maybe we could have committed more to the bit. It almost feels like a bit in itself. But that's beside the point. It's got some good songs. It's funny. It was a star vehicle for Kyle Burnett a long, long time ago, and that's why it's important. Mary Rogers wrote the music, book, lyrics? I forget.
These are the things you're supposed to know, Billy.
Yeah, I don't remember. Mary Rogers was involved in it, and she is, you know, Richard Rogers' daughter. Good friend of Stephen Sondheim. And I know she wrote one of those things for it. I forget which one.
Wonderful. One of the things.
That's all I have to say about One Spot on the Mattress. It's fine.
Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls also can feel outdated sometimes.
yeah.
Pretty much a lot of the time. But it's a really, really fun show with really good music. Like, very, very good music. you probably know some songs from Guys and Dolls, whether you know it or not. Like, everybody knows Luck Be a Lady.
Sit down. You're rocking the boat.
Yeah, that one, too.
All the Glee fans out there.
Everyone knows the expression, Luck Be a Lady, even if they don't know that it's from Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, it very much was in the popular culture. I think, was Frank Sinatra in, like, the old, old movie? I think he was.
That sounds like something that could be
Guys
true.
And Dolls. So, like, it was a big deal at the time.
These were all a big deal at the time.
Another one that had a revival, but not as recently.
Yeah, with, like, Nathan Lane and stuff, right?
Nathan Lane was in it, yeah.
I don't know how old. I was just thinking, how long ago was that? Because both of these shows are shows that have had revivals, but not recently. And so I wonder how I would feel about each of these shows. Like all the shows we've said, Carousel had a revival. West Side Story had a revival. The King and I had a revival. So I'm wondering.
'90s, early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if, like, Once Upon a Mattress had a 2022 revival, like, how it would be, or if Guys and Dolls had a 2022 revival. Like,
yeah, I don't think Guys and Dolls is going to be revived on Broadway anytime soon.
I'm just stating hypotheticals.
I'm just saying.
Allow me to just state hypotheticals. Allow me to state hypotheticals.
But yeah, Guys and Dolls wins.
Guys and Dolls wins. Wonderful. Moving on. Guys and Dolls advances round 32 over Once Upon a Mattress. All right, let's go to... I'm going to give you two back-to-back that I don't know if they'll be tough for you. I feel like they're a little bit harder than, you know, that. And then, actually, I'll give you an option. So we have three left, and I think one of them will be a slaughter, and two of them might be closer. Which one? What would you like?
I think a close one.
Close one. All right, let's go Oklahoma versus South Pacific.
All right. Both Rodgers and Hammerstein.
They were really loving it. Back, they're living it up on top back in the day.
Living it up on top. Nice reference.
Thank you.
I am going to go with Oklahoma. Speaking of recent revivals.
Uh-huh.
That was a very recent revival. That just closed a few months ago.
Yeah, very.
That cast recording is fantastic. If you haven't listened to it. They dubbed it Sexy Oklahoma because... they somehow made it sexy, I guess.
I don't know.
They did it in the round, in the circle, in the square. So I wish I got to see it. I wanted to see it. It's just got great songs. It's about the same as the rest of the Rodgers and Hammerstein one. It has the same vibe in general. It was, like, revolutionary at the time, though. Because it was, like, the first Rodgers and Hammerstein to, like, really burst onto the scene and, like, talk about, like, serious, like, really being integrated book musical. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a big deal. Because back then, it was, like, Cole Porter just singing silly songs. And then Rodgers and Hammerstein were in Oklahoma. And it really changed everything.
Right.
South Pacific, again, though, is one that was, like... talking about, like, race and stuff like that. It's got a few good songs. I don't know it as well. And so Oklahoma wins. I don't have a lot to say about South Pacific. I know there are a lot of people who really like that. My dad, who is not a musical person, grew up listening to South Pacific because it was one of the records that he had.
Wow, so look at that little tidbit. Look at that little tidbit right there.
Yes.
Well, all right.
He might be able to say more than I.
Maybe. So Oklahoma advances over South Pacific. All right, we have two remaining. Let's go Damn Yankees versus the Music Man.
I say it's not even close for me. It's the Music Man for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That
may or may not have been the one that I said was a slaughter.
That was not the slaughter?
That was the slaughter.
This is the slaughter.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right. The Music Man is a great musical that everyone should continue to do and should never die because it is hilarious. And Rock Island, the opening number, is one of the coolest opening numbers ever. It goes to the rhythm. Oh my God, my really just had a voice crack there.
Yeah, that was. Try not to get choked up there, Bill.
Yeah, I know. Really, really shows up at the Music Man. A very silly musical. It's about a guy who is a traveling salesman named Tarryl Hill, and he goes into towns and makes them think that there's something wrong with their community that only he can fix, and the way that he's going to fix it is by starting a boys band and selling them all instruments. So it's just about a con man. It's very fun. It feels old, but it is also funny in a very contemporary way. Again, there are some parts of it that feel outdated, like saying that a girl who kisses on the first date is, I quote, a hussy. one of the most famous songs ever.
Oh.
It's what is it?
What a word.
A girl who kisses on the very first date is usually a hussy, and it's a girl who kisses on the second date is anything but fussy. But the girl who waits the third date, she's your shapoopy, which is a word that they literally just made up.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, parts of it feel out of date, like, a lot sometimes. But really fun show. I like it a lot. It's getting a revival. In the Winter Garden's kicking out Beetlejuice, which I'm not too happy about.
Yeah.
But I will go see it anyway with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's what I have to say about The Music Man. It's really good, and you should listen to it. And
do you have anything to say about Damn Yankees?
Sure, I can say something about Damn Yankees.
Yeah, no, go for it. I just didn't know.
Damn Yankees was one of the first Hal Prince shows, written by the same people who wrote The Pajama Game.
Wow.
It's about, I don't know that much about it. I know vaguely it's about making a deal with the devil so that the Yankees will, like, win the World Series.
Nice.
I believe is the premise. Directed by George Abbott. Ever heard of him? Pretty famous director in American musical theater history. Choreographed by Bob Fosse.
Ooh.
Pretty big.
Yes.
Guy. And that was the first time he met Gwen Verdon, who he would go to work many times with and would eventually become his wife.
Wow.
So that's Damn Yankees for you. It's still done a lot. A lot of people do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people use, like, different songs from it for, like, cabaret stuff, especially because, you know, it's got some fun numbers in there, like Heart. But overall, not my favorite musical ever, but I'm glad people still do it because it's fun.
Well, there you have it. Music Man advances over Damn Yankees, which brings us to our last matchup of the Golden Ages for now, which is The Sound of Music against My Fair Lady.
Okay. Yeah, this is tough.
Silence. Yes. Excellent.
No. I mean, it's going to be My Fair Lady. It's going to win. But that's hard because I love The Sound of Music. Oh, it's so good. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has watched The Sound of Music. I've seen it like a million times. Did you think it's Rodgers and Hammerstein? Ever heard of him?
I have not. Nope.
Can you believe Rodgers and Hammerstein were really pumping out good stuff?
I mean, they have a monopoly on this second round of Golden Age musicals.
Wow. Right now?
I'm saying, I mean, all the ones you picked, I think you only picked one not Rodgers and Hammerstein musical to win because it was against another Rodgers and Hammerstein musical.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
So, I'll read them off at the end of what we still got.
Except for right now, because right now I'm picking My Fair Lady.
Yes.
But Sound of Music is just a classic. Everyone loves the music because the reason that everyone loves it is because it's great. And
good description.
I still listen to it all the time. I saw it on tour and it was so good. Like, you forget how good The Sound of Music is until you watch it again. Often I go years in between seeing it, but then when I see it again, it's just so good. So that's all I have to say about that. But My Fair Lady, Lerner and Lowe, I'm going to say it, and this might be a controversial. I think it is one of the closest to perfect musicals ever written.
Wow.
I think it is just – the book is fantastic, based on Pygmalion by George Bernard Shaw. The music is so good. The lyrics are so clever. I'm sure I'll say more about it in the future. Another one that just had a revival of My Fair Lady. Laura Benanti was in it for a while at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
But I think maybe there's one skip on that album for me.
How dare you? What is it? What is it, Billy? What's the skip?
The skip is, God, what is the, it's the song that the dad sings. I forget what it's called.
Unbelievable. You don't even know.
Yeah, because it's a skip. But yeah, I mean, that is, I love My Fair Lady. It's one of my all time favorite musicals, like full stop, not just Golden Age, but like all time. I really, really like it. And I hope that I get to see it on tour sometime because it is touring right now. And I would love to see it.
Well, I just learned that My Fair Lady was one of Billy's all-time favorite musicals, which I did not know.
Did you not know that?
Why would I know that? No.
I love My Fair Lady. Originally, Julie Andrews.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then, this is some drama. And then they made it into a movie, and Julie Andrews was not asked to come and play Eliza Doolittle. Instead, Audrey Hepburn got the part.
Yikes.
And then that was the and everyone was really mad. Uh-huh. And that was the year that Julie Andrews got picked to play Mary Poppins. And then at the Oscars that year, she won the Oscar over Audrey Hepburn.
There you go. Full circle. Mary Poppins. Yeah, it's a Julie Andrews versus Julie Andrews matchup.
Yep. It was pretty crazy. And that was like, at the time, like such a scandal, such a big deal.
Yeah.
Yep. But I love My Fair Lady, and I'm surprised that you didn't know that I have this deep love for My Fair Lady.
I really, truly promise you that I really did not know that.
Wow, you should listen to it some more. Or watch, the movie is good with Audrey Hepburn. It's not as good as the musical, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's very good. And to be clear, Audrey Hepburn is not singing in that movie. It is Marty Nixon, the person who dubbed many of the famous musical people of the Golden Age, including West Side Story. Natalie was not saying, Martin Nixon actually sang.
See, this is why I bring Billy on the show, because he has all these random tidbits of information that, I mean, no one knows, but he does. At least no one in our generation, or plus or minus one generation above or below us.
That is true. Yeah, that's a pretty niche fact. But yes,
definitely
sang a lot of those roles in movie musicals and was not credited. And the reason that she didn't just get the roles is because they said she was too big, not pretty enough.
Yeah, too ugly.
Yep,
it's a shame. Does not stand nowadays. Does not stand.
It does not stand nowadays.
Rightfully does not stand.
Yes.
All right. Well, so My Fair Lady advances, apparently because it's Billy's favorite show of all time, advances.
It's not my favorite show of all time.
I don't know. It really sounds like it. So My Fair Lady advances. Ooh, I did a pretty good job with that then. All right. So the round of 30, or the round of, yes, 32 in the Golden Age bracket is set. And so I'm going to now go through and tell you the seeds that I had everything. And then afterwards, I'll tell you what the matchups are for the next round.
Word.
So starting off, number one, what do you think I had?
Number one, I'm going to say West Side Story.
Yep. West Side Story was number one. Number two, The Music Man.
Okay.
Number three, Guys and Dolls. See, this is the middle is where I kind of had no idea. Like, I knew which ones were popular and I liked, and I knew which ones were not as popular and I didn't like. But everything in the middle, I just, like, how am I supposed to compare The Sound of Music and The King and I? I really had no idea. So three was Guys and Dolls. I had four was Carousel. Five, Oklahoma. Six, Cinderella. Seven, King and I. This is not, I don't know anything, so don't listen to me. Eight, Sound of Music. Nine, My Fair Lady.
That's low.
Yeah, well, now again, it's for me. Okay, it's for me, not you. Okay, for me, not you. Now, this was a gripe. 10, Peter Pan. I don't know what I was thinking with that. I was just thinking name recognition, maybe. Must have been. Yeah. Because I put it up right above Kiss Me, Kate, which does not have quite the name recognition of Peter Pan. Then South Pacific, Annie Get Your Gun, Once Upon a Mattress, Damn Yankees, and Pajama Game. I think I got like those last four probably right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I will say both 15 and 16 are written by same people.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I know the good ones up top, Sondheim and Rodgers and Hammerstein, and then I know the ones at the bottom, which are not, and then everything in between was kind of just whatever. But if they're in between, they're going to get matched up anyway, so whatever. So yeah, so those were the seedings that I had. So now coming up in the next round, in which would be probably three episodes from now, which will be interesting. So the first matchup, so this is just for Billy to think about. It's not supposed to say anything about it now or lean any certain way. Just let it simmer a little bit. First matchup is West Side Story versus My Fair Lady, which I'm looking forward to hearing your...
This is me not saying anything.
Your thought? No, it's good. West Side Story versus My Fair Lady. Next one is Oklahoma versus Carousel. So, Rodgers and Hammerstein. You'll see a theme. Next one is Kiss Me, Kate versus Guys and Dolls. And then it'll be The King and I versus The Music Man.
Great. Exciting.
What are your overarching vibes?
It'll be hard. These ones are harder for me to do, because I know less about them, or sometimes I know a lot more about one than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to be impartial, but I will do my best.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the next couple episodes, because the 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s are going to have some crazy matchups. And
I'm going to know something about those ones, too.
Yeah, and you're going to know a lot about a lot of them. And
if there's some Sondheims in there, which I assume there will be.
Who's to say? But also, okay, so Billy actually picked a couple of upsets for the first time, which was he picked a few. So he didn't have any upsets in the first one, but this one he picked My Fair Lady over Sound of Music was an upset to me. Next one was Kiss Me, Kate over Cinderella, and that was it. So you picked two. So you've had two upsets in the first 16 matches.
All right.
So we're
statistically correct.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page right there. So I'm really looking forward to the 16. So next we're doing. I'll leave it up to you, Bill. What would you rather do next? 60s and 70s or 80s and 90s?
Sixties, seventies.
All right. So next episode, we will be going over the '60s and the '70s, which were a lot more musicals than I had thought were in the '60s and seventies. To be honest with you.
Yeah, were you surprised by what ones are in there?
I really was. I thought, first of all, I thought some of them were older, like Golden Age, uh-huh. And I thought some of them were like mid '80s, and I was like, oh gosh.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that's crazy that this was that old. And again, all of these years will be up for debate because, like, what year do you put on the musical, right? Do you put
the... Yeah, was it the year it was developed? Was it the year it premiered on Broadway?
Exactly, exactly. But this is... I used the same website. I forget what it was, but it just had year by year what musicals, I guess, premiered. I don't know if it was premiered on Broadway or premiered, like, professionally or whatever. But I just used... So I used the same website for all of them, so they would at least be consistent in that regard. But some of them definitely were surprising, and I am looking forward to hearing what you got to say.
Here's a little tidbit about West Side Story when we're talking about premieres.
Oh, please. Like, oh, absolutely.
Quick tidbit. West Side Story premiered in Philadelphia at a theater that no longer exists. So that's a fun fact for you.
That is a very strange but fun fact.
That doesn't really happen as much anymore. We don't really get a lot of Broadway tryouts. We both live around.
No, we really don't. No. No, yeah. Philly, well, I don't even know the last time Philly had a Broadway tryout.
Do you know that Walnut Street Theater is, this is a fun fact about Philadelphia theater.
Keep going.
Walnut Street Theater is the most subscribed to theater in the world.
Subscribed to?
Like, people buy, like, yearly subscriptions to, like, go see all the shows. Most subscribed to theater in the world. It's one of the oldest theaters in America.
Why?
Thomas Jefferson saw shows at the Walnut Street Theater.
That is crazy.
Yep.
Why?
I don't know.
Not that the seasons that we get aren't great, but, like, that is something.
I believe I read somewhere that John Wilkes Booth was in a show at the Walnut Street Theater.
Oh, now we're just getting dark.
That's all I'd say.
Maybe we'll hear a little bit more about John Wilkes Booth coming up in a future episode. Who knows?
Yes, perhaps.
Who knows? Perhaps. Oh, man. I have some. Oh, see, my goal is to really stump Billy. And it hasn't happened yet. There have been a couple of close ones. My goal by the time this is over, and I mean, I am starting to strategically place things for second round matchups if I know what your first round is going to be.
Yeah.
And so I'm, it's not just random, like, oh, yada, yada, yada. But I am looking at seeing, like, oh, well, if I know this one's going to win and I know this one's going to win, yada, yada, yada. So, like, I am strategically kind of placing how these matchups will go. So my goal is to just stump you. And so
I can't wait.
We will see how that, and obviously it'll get harder and harder through the brackets for each. Ideally that's how a bracket would work, but all right. I mean, this was a good little quick episode. Yes, it was definitely not as long as contemporary, but I feel like that's fine because A, we don't know that much about these things, or B, no one really wants to hear as much about Damn Yankees as they do about Hamilton. So,
if you want to learn about Golden Age musicals, go do it.
True. I got nothing against Golden Age musicals. They are very, then they, I mean, hey, the musicals we saw today had to start somewhere.
That's how we got here.
That's how we got here. It's respect your elders. That's it.
Yeah, if you don't think Lin-Manuel loves Rodgers and Hammerstein, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, if you don't think he listened to these records on repeat, you're...
He literally references Cole Porter in the opening number of In the Heights.
Yes, he really, truly does. So, and now maybe, yeah, if you go and listen to those musicals, maybe you'll start catching more things, more references and stuff that more modern musicals are doing, and that's always a fun thing. So, if you want to give it a shot, go out there, listen to some old Golden Age musicals, please do. But I think that is it for our episode. Billy, you got anything else to say before we sign off?
No, that's everything.
All right. Well, thanks, Billy, as always, to... we're so gracious to get you on the horn in these troubling times. Glad you could make time, for the brand, for the bros, for the Broadway. And for Billy and Kyle, who again is still not here, I am Dan, and this has been Musical Madness Round 2. Tune in next time for Round 3, the 60s and the 70s, and keep looking out for the other content, just our normal, regularly scheduled program. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.